in a special appearance to contest the jurisdiction of the PSC in this matter, and that's the only reason he's appearing. And I should also state that Mr. Brunkow and the tribal chairman will be leaving right after his presentation, as they have a meeting back on the reservation today, apparently. So they need to leave right away. It's not any disrespect or anything like that, but they do need to leave for another meeting. So, Mr. Brunkow, please.
As a preliminary matter, there's be no additional evidence that'll be taken during this
correct.
Motion,
correct? Correct. No additional evidence. That's correct. Mr. Brunkow, please.
Yeah, I wanted to make it clear that the tribe wasn't going to make its argument and storm out angrily. Not the case at all. I'd like to start by noting for the commission that the attendance of the chairman of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, it's Chairman Merle St. Clair behind me to my right. This issue is very important to the tribe, and that is why we chose to intervene in the matter. And we are intervening solely for the purpose of contesting jurisdiction. The tribe, I don't think anyone can argue that the tribe is a sovereign nation. And as a sovereign nation, one of the inherent rights you have is to make and be governed by your own laws. And the Turtle Mountain Tribe has made a law. They passed a resolution last summer. It was signed into law by the chairman, and a contract was entered into with Otter Tail Power. That is our inherent right as a sovereign nation. We get to choose who provides our power. And I'm not going to quote the 95 case again, but it really looks pretty dispositive to me. And the North Central's reliance on cases like Strait and Montana is misguided. Strait and Montana are cases that determined whether or not the tribal court had jurisdiction over an individual or a company. That's not the issue here today. And so I'll just end with the tribe has made its decision, and we intend to live by it.
Thank you, Mr. Brunkow. Mr. Grumman, do you have any questions?
I do not, Your Honor.
Thank you. Commissioner Clark, please.
My question might be given your knowledge of tribal sovereignty issues, a similar question to the one I asked Mr. Gerhardsen about, although it's somewhat outside the scope of this case, do you have a sense for where the law is with regard to the provision of these types of services as it relates to other classes of customers? So we've got, in this case, tribally owned business on trust land. Do you have a sense for tribal member on trust land versus other categories of customers that may be out there? And again, this is more a curiosity question and not necessarily applicable to this case. But
a sense for a tribal member on trust land, that tribal member's ability to pick and choose who provides service?
Well, either that tribal member's or the tribe's ability to choose who the provider should be in those particular cases. Or is it as limited as Mr. Gerhardsen suggests, to really the case law that we have out there, in his opinion, yours, would be
from the tribe's right? perspective,
right.
As long as we're not doing anything in contravention of federal law or our own tribal law, mm-hmm. my advice to the tribe would be to go ahead as you wish.
Okay. Mm. Very good. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Nothing
Commissioner
further.
Kramer, please.
Nothing further. Just thank you for being here, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for being with us as well.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk, please.
Just a couple. Thank you for coming down as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The just for knowledge, for background, for the PSC, is there somewhere where the decision factors that the tribe uses when they request services from someone, how do they get to the decision of North Central, Otter Tail, MDU?
Right. And this goes back to your earlier question about how Otter Tail was selected. There was an informal or semi-formal request for a proposal.
Excuse me.
We object because that is evidence. North Central would object to any evidence.
we do have a stipulation in regard to evidence, and I haven't had any objections previously, but that would be evidence that's beyond, I believe, beyond the scope. So I'd have to sustain the objection.
Hmm. So if somewhere down the road I'm trying to get together a case about why decision A was good, I guess anything submitted from the tribe, since it's sovereign, that becomes the issue then.
Okay. Well, it hasn't been. It's not an evidentiary criteria in this matter.
Henceforth, why we're here today. I guess that would be it then. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, and you're excused.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Hofforth, please.
Thank you. I'll try to be brief. There's been a lot of discussion about this 1995 case and how it's binding in a specific directive as to the policy and what the commission should do in this case. That is.
Hofforth, I think you need to face that way perhaps so she can.
I was just kind of looking
back
at there. I'll turn around. So I'll start again. That the Otter Tail argues that this directive is binding on the commission. And how they should decide this case, because the public service was a commission party to that litigation. We don't believe that's the case, and here's why. When you read the last sentence where it talks about public service commission except as to such service, present, or future, what that statement is talking about is that particular manufacturing plant, DTI, on the Fort Todd, Northern Spirit Lake Reservation. It's not talking about any and all services herein going forward regarding tribal entities. We don't believe that's what it stands for. So we agree with Otter Tail that this is a narrow exception. We agree that that is true. But the fact is it's a narrow extension regarding a particular service on a particular reservation. That's not a case at this issue. What's also important, we think, in particular, in those federal court cases, what was important to the Eighth Circuit and important to the district court in that case as well is that the tribe, in an evidentiary proceeding, demonstrated a threat of irreparable harm. There's been no evidence that there's any irreparable harm to the tribe at all. They're intervening just simply to say, we want to have Otter Tail power. We've entered into a contract. We intend to live by it. That's not irreparable harm in this matter. There also has been very little. We think the gaming compact is important because the gaming compact does apply to gaming activities of this casino. Any extension of that casino or expansion is important. And the North Dakota did not give up its rights for regulation under the casino. And, in fact, there is a limited waiver of sovereign immunity regarding actions at the casino. So those are reasons. Now, they say that the Strait case isn't important. What I want to point out is that the Strait case was in 1997. This litigation with this protracted litigation, which ended around 1995, was prior to that Strait case. We don't know. I don't have the facts to say, you know, was DTI, was it abutting a state highway? Was DTI, you know, there's a certain steps that go into all these analysis, and we don't have those facts here to make that same case. We would argue that they have to cross, and they are utilizing property which is under the regulatory jurisdiction of the Public Service Commission. The simple thing about tribal jurisdiction is they don't have legislative jurisdiction if they don't have regulatory authority. Regardless of whether who owns to 33 feet in on each side of that to that state highway, the fact is the United States Supreme Court has said tribes do not have jurisdiction over non-Indian conduct on a state highway. And that's exactly what we have here. And I think that can be expanded easily to crossing easements, which are owned by other non-public utilities. DTI is a specific case about a specific reservation with a specific manufacturing plant. And as I reviewed those cases through, I don't believe that there was ever an incident in which Baker Electric was serving DTI, that Otter Tail had served that from the front. And perhaps someone who was involved in that litigation would have a better memory of that than I would, because I wasn't involved in it. I'm trying to glean the facts from those cases. This case is different. North Central has been providing power since 1998. His 7-meter facilities, I don't think that can just be ignored. Even the Eighth Circuit says we are concerned with wasteful duplication. We didn't have that issue. That issue wasn't a case in the federal cases, so we think it's an anomaly. It's not the same type of case as what you have here before you. Here you have a case where North Central is already serving the tribal entity, even though it's on tribal trust land. It is a complete waste of duplication. It's interference. There's those sorts of things. We think the commission can still has the jurisdiction to decide. This decision by the 1995 court makes it very clear they're limiting that order to that particular instant. And why they would say to this service, present or future, is because the district court had issued sanctions against Otter Tail, or the PSC had issued sanctions and there was injunctions and all kinds of different litigation about Otter Tail's refusal to follow the PSC's rulings in that matter. And that's where that language comes from. They're talking about you are not going to come in here to PSC or Baker Electric or whomever and say Otter Tail can't serve this particular plant. That's what it's saying there. And the decision about supplying electric service on the tribal land owned by the tribe, that had to do with the specific things that the tribe had provided evidence in that matter. They had said, proved that there was irreparable harm, and we can see that would have been one of the things. The tribe could have asked for an evidentiary hearing to put all that evidence in, but they did not do so. Simply saying that they want them to be served is not enough. Another point I want to make is there's a lot of discussion about how the rates will be affected. If Otter Tail is somehow arguing that the PSC, admittedly the PSC has jurisdiction over Otter Tail's rates, if they're arguing that somehow that there is going to be some sort of jurisdiction as to of the PSC over how it handles the rates provided on this reservation, then if there's jurisdiction over how that a rate, how the PSC governs the rates, and how that's going to affect other ratepayers off the reservation, if there's jurisdiction to decide that, there's certainly jurisdiction for them to decide whether or not a PCNN is necessary in this case. There's discussion about Otter Tail says it has a responsibility to the tribe, and the tribe has a responsibility to Otter Tail. What's kind of got lost in that argument is that North Central is providing service to the tribe, has 7-metered services just at that particular facility. The tribe has a responsibility to North Central as well because it's one of its members. The casino is one of its members. We do not believe that Otter Tail does have the authority to go ahead and do what it wishes on any land, regardless tribally owned, tribal trust land, fee land, Indian-owned fee land, non-Indian-owned fee land. There's all kinds of different ownership bases within the reservation. We believe that this is just another stepping stone to extend that jurisdiction to all sorts of lands on the reservations, which is not all what the law says. Even these 1995 cases recognize that the sovereignty of the tribe is limited. There's a wealth of United States Supreme Court decisions talking about how tribal sovereignty is diminished. Particularly, the Eighth Circuit and the District Court, and I'm just going to press this one more time, that they said they were limiting those cases to that particular issue, that particular site, on that particular reservation. And as far as Montana and Strait not applying, you will note that the Eighth Circuit ordered the district court to do the Montana analysis. I would note that it didn't appear that Judge Comney did the Montana analysis in his decision, but he did note it in footnote 5, where he talks about, he just sets forth what the Montana analysis is. So we believe Montana, the Montana case, which was issued in 1981, followed by the Strait case in 1997. Plains Commerce is in 2008. It's another case. There's Atkinson and Hicks. I believe those are 2003 cases. I call those the Montana progeny of cases. They kind of set forth how you analyze these cases. We think that no matter how you analyze it, that that there is jurisdiction for the PSC to go ahead and act. Does anyone have any other further questions?
Thank you, Ms. Hofferth. Mr. Gruen, any further questions of North Central?
I do not, Your Honor.
Commissioner Clark?
No, Your Honor. Thanks.
Commissioner Kramer?
Just one, and it relates to the argument regarding Highway 5 and jurisdiction governing non-Indian people or non-tribal members. So that I'm clear, or is there some sort of a cross-jurisdictional agreements or something that deal with traffic laws, for example? What if there's a drunk driver that's, you know, on his way to the casino or on his way home to Bismarck? Does a tribal police officer or courts not have jurisdiction over that?
Tribal police do not have jurisdiction over non-Indians or even non, and some would argue non-members for criminal actions which occur on the reservation. So they would have to have a state police, I believe, with practices. Of course, this isn't part of the record, but the practice would be is oftentimes tribal police departments are cross-deputized with the county. And as far as a personal injury case, if you're dealing with non-Indians, those are sued in state court, typically, unless you have some basis for another basis for it to be. If it's two tribal members or two members of the same tribe or even sometimes two members of different tribes, you may be able to bring that in tribal court. But those are very fact-specific cases.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Call, please.
Just a couple. Thank you once again. How long are – you said we talked about 1998 is when North Central started serving this area.
Mm-hmm.
How long are the current contracts in effect? How many years from now going forward?
There's no contract.
So it would appear Otter Tail has a 10-year contract, but North Central has no contract?
Correct.
So they could notify you next week that all of the load that you have is gone, potentially.
Potentially, but potentially you have that investment there, and it would be unusual. This is an unusual case where you would have someone say, now you can't serve this load, because normally you would rely on the PCNN process, the TIA, for protections for duplication of wasteful duplication of services and interference.
Has North Central ever had contracts for service in this?
No.
I might have a follow-up back over here of why they would get a contract and previous didn't have that. But, okay, is there anywhere, and I don't know the whole area there. I've been around a lot of it, but mm-hmm. Is there anywhere on the reservation that Otter Tail serves now?
Yes, they have services. They would serve.
Right, are we talking like how many homes, how many, just a percentage of load or just a ballpark figure?
I don't know. I know their nearest service was 2.5-3 miles from the casino. I would know that they did a build out of 2.5-3 miles of underbuild to get to the casino.
Okay, that was all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kolk. Any further questions, Commissioners? Thank you, Ms. Hofferth. All right. Anything else to bring to the attention of the Commission before we close this hearing? Mr. Garrison?
Your Honor, if you wouldn't mind, there was one question that Ms. Hofferth asked, and because she did make arguments on this point, she did make the statement that DTI, there was no prior service. That's not the case. The record in those cases bears that out, that there was prior service by the Baker Electric Co-op. And I just thought that would be worthy clarification. There are other issues I would address, but I understand this is the end of our presentation.
Right. Thank you. All right. Of course, following this hearing, I won't say when, but sometime following this hearing, the commissioners will be issuing findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order in regard to this matter. And the parties, of course, may have appeal rights or other rights under the Administrative Agencies Practice Act, Chapter 2832 of the Century Code, and under the Commission's Rules, Article 6902. All right. At this time, I'll ask for closing comments. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just thank you for all being here. Very interesting case. Look forward to taking the information we get and any other supplemental information between now and the decision time to have a work session and hopefully have an order in an expeditious manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Just the same. Thank you for a good hearing, good oral argument, sticking to the facts, allowing us a little leeway and satisfying some curiosity. I think it was all appropriate. I think the stipulations were appropriate, and so I appreciate that as well, helping us narrow this down. It's interesting, to say the least. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Commissioner Cock, please.
All these C's and K's up here. Huh? Yeah. Just to thank everyone for coming down today. Travel safe going home. I look forward to the work session because this case is very unique, and whatever we decide here, I think we'll have a lot of ramifications going forward in a lot of different areas. So thank you all. I look forward to the work session and the order.
Thank you, Commissioner. All right. For the record, it's 12:05. This hearing is closed. Thank you.